everyone, I'm Ryan from Fireside Knicks with my friend and co-host Dylan Backer, and in today's video we're discussing a Paul George mock trade, as the New York Knicks are definitely going to be interested in Paul George. We've already heard the reports, and we also know that the Knicks are a team that is well positioned to acquire Paul George. Quite frankly, I think that the Knicks, if Paul George were to get dealt, I think that the New York Knicks would be a prime suitor for him. I think, honestly, that they would have the best odds to get him, just based on what they have available, the amount of picks, what the Clippers are looking for, and really, the Knicks, not desperation, but really, if this is their guy, they'll go out and get him, and I feel strongly saying that. So, you know, with that being said, Dylan, I know you've got a mock trade that you posted on Twitter earlier today that you've got whipped up for us, so really interested to hear what you got for us, and yeah, take it away.
Yeah, so I posted a mock trade on the Fireside Knicks' social media account, so most of you guys might have already seen it, but if you haven't, the trade was getting Paul George, simply him, for RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, Evan Fournier, and then two first-round picks for 2024. Now, on the surface, yeah, it seems like a lot, but in my eyes, it's something that you can definitely do. Obi Toppin doesn't really play. He only played like 10 minutes a game, it felt like, at most times. You know, you can go find a backup power forward. It seems like it's likely that Obi Toppin will get dealt somewhere at some point in the offseason. So this could be an opportunity to use that and, you know, move him right there. Evan Fournier doesn't play at all for the New York Knicks. He's literally on the bench. He was out of the rotation. He's on a big contract. It's a good way to get off the Fournier contract. Yes, losing RJ Barrett to most is going to be an unpopular move, but to move him for Paul George is a good thing in my eyes. You know, that's an upgrade. Yes, Paul George is like 33, 34 years old. I understand the age and injury stuff. I understand those are concerns. But at the same time, when on the court, Paul George is a better player than RJ Barrett. It's pretty simple. And the Knicks are in win now mode. You know, we have quite a window to try to reach the championship with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle's prime. So you got to take advantage of that and build around those guys with actual established star talent. You know, as much as I love RJ Barrett, we can't bank on his development for a fifth year in a row. We can't, because if he doesn't do what we expect him to do again, then that's a problem. Then we're going to be, you know, they're not going to get very far again. They're going to end up poised to be a second round exit yet once again. And we don't want that. We want to get further. We want to make the Eastern Conference Finals. We want to make the NBA Finals. We want to win a championship in these next 4 years or so. That's what they need to do. And I think if you can get Paul George in that kind of trade that I just proposed, then that's a good trade, in my opinion. Yes, it feels like a lot, but I think it's a good trade, and I also don't think it would be their only move. I feel like the Knicks would still be active in free agency, possibly go get like a Dante DiVincenzo as well. I know they're very interested in him, and I would personally love that fit, so that's still a possibility, of course. There are other options in free agency to go after, other trade options as well to add more draft capital, or even get another player if you really feel like you have to do it through a trade. That won't be their only move. You know, I don't want Knicks fans to think that like a Paul George trade like that would be the only thing they would do, because it would not. If they make that kind of move, that means they're ready to win. They're ready to win some games, ready to make some noise in the Eastern Conference, and they're going to do that by making a lot of moves. So that's kind of just my opening thoughts on it. Do you have any sort of mock trades or any thoughts about the trade I just proposed or anything like that?
Yeah, no. So the way I view it is that RJ Barrett is someone that I think has upside, but let's be real here, guys. If RJ Barrett were to go from what he was last year to what Paul George is right now, he wouldn't just win most improved player, he would be the greatest most improved player season of all time. Like, I don't think that's a stretch. I know it sounds crazy to say, but let's be real here. That's an unbelievable leap, right? Like, you're asking him to go from a net negative, because that's what he was last year. Like, I don't pull punches, guys. I say it how it is. He was a net negative for the New York Knicks last year. To go from that to, like, at least a number two option on a championship team is crazy. Like, that would be an unbelievable leap. And I you know, the initial feedback on social media has been like, oh, you can't move RJ. You can't. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. And under the new CBA, I know this sounds crazy to say as well, but when you have Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson, and RJ Barrett, that RJ Barrett contract is very unfavorable in the new CBA, where it's a lot more focused on having two big contracts and having to go from there. And I understand that by trading for Paul George, you would have the same situation with three big contracts, but one of those contracts are expiring, giving you a year of sample size to kind of see how it works. If you see that Paul George and Jalen Brunson work extremely well together, you can then choose to extend Paul George and then look to maybe move Julius Randle, right? That could be a situation, right? But it's a lot easier to do a year of evaluation with Julius Randle, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson than I believe it is to do with the core of three guys we had last year. we know what we have in these three guys. We kind of know what they are as NBA players. We know their limitations. We know their strengths. I know RJ is 22, but as a trio, they had a negative net rating. Like, that matters, right? Like, it's how is it possible that Jalen Brunson was an all-star caliber guard? How is it possible that Julius Randle was an all-NBA player and an all-star, and yet when you throw RJ Barrett into that mix as a trio, they're a net, you know, they're a net negative together. Like, that tells you there's a fit issue. Does that necessarily mean RJ Barrett is going to be a bad player for the rest of his career and he's never going to be a positive contributor? Absolutely not. But it does mean that in the current system the Knicks have, and with the players they have around him, he doesn't fit. And we're not going to start gutting Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, Quentin Grimes. You know you're not touching Jalen Brunson just to make RJ Barrett have a better fit. I think Julius Randle is just a better player. I think Paul George is clearly the better player. I don't even have to say it with Jalen Brunson. So, you know, you're looking at the upside here. We're talking about a championship operation when Paul George is added to the mix. This trade makes you a championship operation. Two first-round picks? Man, I don't even know how many first-round picks we have. We have so many that I don't even know. Like, I can't remember all of them. I forgot we had a second first-round pick next year. Like, that's how many we have. I'm not going to sit here and get upset over not having a 2024 first round pick when I know I can have a 2025 one. I'll probably have my 2026 one, 2027, all that stuff. And end of the day, worst case scenario, Paul George doesn't work out for you. He leaves in free agency in the sign and trade. You get a pretty decent player back or some picks in return, some draft compensation. And you're right back to where you started with Randle and Brunson, and you're looking for that third star. I think that's a much better situation than you're sitting pat and next year you're just the same team you were this year, right? Not saying this team was bad, but I think you can agree with me, the worst thing this team can do is kind of just sit around and do nothing, right? You've got to pick a direction. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, you have to make a big purchase, but, you know, even signing Dante DiVincenzo and bringing back Josh Hart, like, you're adding to the shooting. I think that's doing something. But you can't just sit there, bring back Josh Hart, and run it back. That's not going to work for me. This team needs to shoot better. This team needs to play better defense. Paul George would help a lot with that, with alongside other moves. But I think this mock trade would be perfect. I want to ask one question, though. If you were to acquire Paul George, right, understand that, you know, he is a superstar of his own. Is he the number one guy for you in this offense? Is that Jalen Brunson? Is that Julius Randle? Like, how does that fit work for you? How are you reassigning those scoring roles?
Right, so reassigning those scoring roles in that scenario is obviously difficult, but I feel like you still got to give the keys to Jalen Brunson. I really do. I mean, we saw how good he was last season when we did give him the keys and kind of just made him the guy, and look at us. I mean, we got to the second round, which was something that, quite frankly, many of us did not expect the New York Knicks to do, and a lot of that is because of Jalen Brunson. You know, averaged 24 points. I personally thought he was going to leap to, like, maybe 20 points after averaging 16 the season prior with Dallas. No, he went averaged up to 24, which is a very high mark. That's like a top 15 mark in the league type stuff, and he shot 49% from the field, 41 from three. I mean, he was an all, and he had, like, 6 assists a game or something like that. Just an all-around fantastic score. At this point, I'm very excited to see what his ceiling could be. Even though he's a small guard, I'm really excited to see what his ceiling could be. I feel like you still gotta make Jalen Brunson, like, the main leader of this team, and it would be like, you know, it would almost be like a Tatum and Brown type thing, I guess, with, like, the options, you know, Brunson 1, say, or George 2, are kind of intertwined. And Randle, I think, is clearly the second/third best option at that point. I think that's pretty clear at this point that he would probably thrive a little better in that kind of role. And I like Julius Randle as a primary ball handler in some ways. I like him as a passer for his position. I really love his passing. I think his playmaking is a very underrated aspect of his game that I feel like a lot of people need to kind of notice a little bit more. But I think, though, him as a number one option should just not be the way to go. That's not a knock on Julius Randle. It's just that's not the type of player he is. He's not the type of guy to be the number one option. He's supposed to be someone that can be like the second/third star, you know. And yes, he's an all-star, and yes, he was our only all-star last season, but I think the playoffs kind of showed that this is clearly Jalen Brunson's team. It's clearly better led with him at the helm and him, you know, behind the wheel, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, and kind of just control everything. Not saying Randle was bad at it, because, I mean, in 2021, he got us to the playoffs doing that, so we've seen Randle do it before. It's just, I think Jalen Brunson's more suited for that role. I think he's more built for that role. You know, I think he wants that, and I think that's just what they should do. Now, I want to just kind of pivot for 1 second here and mention that, you know, for some people that say, like, that kind of Paul George trade that we've been proposing is too much, I just want to mention this. Bleacher Report posted an article a couple days ago, you know, about some draft trades, post-draft day trades or whatever, and one of them was to get Paul George to the Knicks, and their offer was Paul George for RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and 2 first-round picks. Now, on the surface, people might be like, oh, you know, that doesn't sound like that much, right? Even though you're giving away Quickley and RJ. Numbers-wise, quantity-wise, I feel like it doesn't sound much, right? You can't do it. It's not possible. League trade rules do not allow that kind of trade. I ran it through the trade machine. It failed. You can't do it. The salaries don't match up. The amount of assets don't match up. It's not an even trade for both sides. The league will not approve that kind of trade. The only way you can do a Paul George trade is if you add a third asset. It's the only way. You got to add a third asset. I figure adding an asset who doesn't play but will likely play somewhere else is the best option. That's why I put Fournier as the third option, and I subbed out Quickley for Toppin, because if you can do a trade without getting rid of Quickley, that would be the most ideal, but the Clippers very well might ask for Quickley. It's a reasonable ask, so I gotta acknowledge that's a possibility as well. But with that being said, you know, in terms of just pivoting back towards the options and stuff, I think it's still going to be clearly Jalen Brunson's team, but I do think Paul George will immediately insert himself as, you know, the number two, but also at times have to be the number one type guy. But I think, you know, I still think you got to have it be Jalen Brunson's team. I really do. If you have Jalen Brunson take a step back, I feel like that'll not only hurt his development in a way, but you'll also, you know, limit his ceiling. Jalen Brunson can be a really high-level scorer, and he could end up becoming like a top 5 point guard type stuff. That's the ceiling he's able to reach, you know. So I think the Knicks need to be able to take advantage of that and see what they get out of Brunson and keep making him be like the main guy in a sense. But adding Paul George will make this team so much better. I just hope people realize that. The team will be so much better that way. That's kind of all I got to say about it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think end of the day, that's really the important thing here, right? Are the Knicks a much better team with or without Paul George? This is an easy question. This is an easy answer. They're a lot better with Paul George. Are they better with Paul George for 1 year than RJ Barrett for 4 years? Yeah. Like, that's 1 year. 1 year where you're in contention to win a title is much more than either of us have had in our entire lifetime, I think it's fair to say. Like, I'm not going to disrespect those Carmelo-led Knicks teams, but the Heat were going to beat. Like, I'm sorry. Like, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were going to beat Carmelo and, like, no one else every single time. Hell, even if Amari Stoudemire was healthy, I still believe that big three team would have beaten the Knicks. And LeBron ran the East for like 8 years, 9 years. So, you know, there was just a point in time where it felt like you couldn't get past LeBron. There is no LeBron James of the Eastern Conference. You can say Jimmy Butler is really clutching. And while true, if you want to say that, if you're going to use the age argument for Paul George, you kind of have to use it for Jimmy Butler as well. And the Knicks and Heat played pretty tough, despite the fact that the Heat, you know, went out and they won the East. They were able to manhandle the Bucks. They did an excellent job against the Boston Celtics, who I think you and I would have viewed as a team that would clearly beat the Knicks last year if the Knicks had advanced against Miami. Really, you were just hoping on a prayer that the Knicks would somehow like run into some incredible luck against the Celtics, but I don't think either of us viewed that as a series the Knicks should have won or would expect to beat. But end of the day, if you have a Paul George, that makes a difference, right? And as you mentioned, is it still Jalen Brunson's team? I think so, at least in terms of who gets the ball in that fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson's just such a dynamic scorer, and he's a playoff riser. But I'd love to see how those roles kind of fit in naturally if that ends up happening, number one. And number two, Julius Randle's a really good playmaker, and I wonder if you shift him into Barrett's role. Now, Barrett came off the bench and went with the scores a lot, you know, with the rotation. So what they would do is they'd sub out Barrett first, and then they would have him come back in as the first guy with the second unit. I think that would work really well for Julius Randle. Julius Randle is an extremely aggressive scorer. He works really well with Emmanuel Quickley. Josh Hart isn't a big, like, he doesn't need the ball a lot to work. You know, same thing as Isaiah Hartenstein, right? That to me, feel like you're never going to be without scoring. Like, the Cavs bench last year got manhandled by the Knicks bench. Now imagine the Knicks bench, but you remove RJ Barrett, you throw in a healthy Julius Randle, and you have Paul George. Like, in that Miami series too, you will beat, like, I think you close out game one if you have Julius Randle off the bench, not off the bench, but Julius Randle and RJ Barrett's role and Paul George and Julius Randle's role. I think you win that first game. I think you win the series. So maybe I'm a little bit delusional here, but I think the fit can work itself out if Tom Thibodeau is creative, and I think he can be creative enough to handle this. So with that being said, you know, I'd love to see what you guys have to say in the comment section below. You know, I think this is a really interesting topic. I think this is something that, you know, I've talked myself into. I feel like, you know, I think you and I are both reasonable in the sense that we understand the risks that come with acquiring Paul George, but that 1 year deal, it's just like, there's not a lot to lose. So, you know, with that being said, again, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Tweet at us, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, this YouTube page, however you want to reach out to us. Let us know what you guys think. If you're screaming your heads off about, no, I don't want Paul George, let us know. If you really want Paul George, let us know. We're open to all opinions. I mean, maybe not all opinions, but close enough. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Our Twitter accounts are above our heads. Empire Sports Media is where you can check out our articles. And Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we can check out the audio version of this podcast. Peace out.